Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game.
Know your role and shut your mouth. You jabroni.
Float game for the win.
Gone. Goodbye. Touchdown, Indy.
Woo! IU. America. They got a football team now.
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio coming to you on this Wednesday. We've made it to the halfway point of championship week, Big Ten championship week, that is. Big day today. Looking forward to Gus Johnson joining us on the program. Gus, of course, on the call for Fox Sports this Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium as the number one Ohio State Buckeyes and the number two Indiana Hoosiers go at it for the Big Ten Championship and to determine the number one seed in this year's college football playoffs, potentially the number two seed as well. I'm still not convinced that there's any movement between these two, especially if Ohio State were to lose. They would definitely not fall below second. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. And I'm pretty sure that if Indiana loses a game that stays within the point spread thereabouts, may not see the movement there either, because that would allow the committee to keep Indiana and Ohio State in two different brackets, with them being in the one team being in the 1-4 game, the other team being in the 2-3 game. Then you separate the you start to separate the conferences. And I was trying to look at this, but there's no way you can look at this and try to figure out the scenarios. It just, forget about it. It's just too difficult, man, because of what yet can happen. College football, latest, the penultimate college football poll, of course, out last night, and a little bit of movement here and there, but not much at the top. Ohio State, Indiana, of course, 12-0. They do not move in the numbers 1 and 2 spot. Georgia in the number 3 spot after Texas A&M took it on the chin from old Longhorn. Oregon, a third Big Ten team, moves up into the top 5. The Big Ten's got to have 3 teams in the top 5 seeds regardless. Period. I think it ends up being Indiana or Ohio State in 1-2. You know, not in that order necessarily, but whoever wins is 1. Whoever loses, I think, goes to 2. I don't know that number 3, Georgia, moves up. Now, I certainly will tell you that if Alabama were to win the SEC championship, they will probably just crawl into the four slot. But here's the rub. Texas Tech is going to play. They get to play in the Big 12 championship. They win that game, they will move up to the third slot if Georgia were to lose. And if they lose, they move down. So that'll take care of that. The fourth spot could still go to a third Big Ten team. Oh, this would make Greg Sankey livid. If the Big Ten only got 3 teams in, but yet it's 3 out of the top 4 byes. Oh, my goodness. And that is a distinct possibility, people. And here's the crazy part. I think that Yeah. Wow. Proximity. Now we're getting into proximity. Oregon, Rose Bowl. Boy, forget it. I don't even want to begin to think about trying to figure this out, because you're not going to figure it out until next week, next Sunday. A week from this Sunday, we'll know exactly who's where, who's playing whom. The second round games, you can't give much credence into those yet. You know, Vanderbilt, teams like Vanderbilt, I they don't really have a shot. If Georgia loses, they're not falling out. Now, if Alabama were to lose, would they fall out? Probably, since they're in that precarious spot of number 9, and that would be, what, a fourth loss? Yeah. So, and there's no sense in, I guess, there's a lot of sense in doing it. James Madison, are they going to make it in? Ole Miss moved up a spot. They're number 6. So all the talk about what was going to happen with the coaching change and all that, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. Yes, that's what I said this Sunday. That's what I thought I said. All kinds of basketball going on last night. Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. Dylan said on the program today, Kyle Nedrip going to join us as well. Gus Johnson from Fox Sports. My man, Gus. He's pretty cool dude, man. He's been very, very nice to us. Been on with us before. Andrew says IU 1 or 3, depending on outcome. Yeah, I'm not sold on that, man. Not sold on that. I'm not sold on the fact that they can't stay right where they are if they end up losing this game. They're 12-0. They're undefeated. It's 1A. It's 1A and 1B. And they've been 1B for 7 weeks. So, how many teams does the SEC get in? They're going to get 5 in, right? Georgia is not falling out. Ole Miss is not going anywhere because they don't play. Texas A&M doesn't play anymore, so they're not going anywhere. Oklahoma. I don't think that they're going anywhere. And then Alabama makes 6. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, 5. I miscounted. I expected them to get 5 teams in. But now, if Alabama loses, now the conference championship game not supposed to affect you, but if you're number 9 and you get beat and that's a fourth loss, I don't know, man. We will see. Where will Indiana wind up if they don't win? Long thought it was going to be the Cotton Bowl, but that's out the window. Especially now with Texas Tech sneaking into that era, I can see them working it out. So, I don't know that Indiana fans are going to be that upset. It could end up being Indiana playing Notre Dame in Miami. How crazy would that be? Two of the teams that might be the closest in proximity to each other in the same state may have to get shipped however far that is to play the game. that they played on a campus facility last year. Should all of these games be moved to campus facilities? Should they all be turned into playoff games a la the NFL? It's a good question, because you're going to have, especially now with this time of year, you're going to have these regional differences in weather. Southern team, a team from, let's say Miami was in it, and they had to go to South Bend. Probably not going to like it. Does it affect the game? Probably. All kinds of things, but that's part of it. That's, you know, we're used to that with the NFL. So why not that with college football? The thing is, that would finally and totally kind of wreck the major bowls. Now, I'm talking about the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl. You know, all these major bowls, I still think that they would be, I don't know how you do it. Man, how do you do that? How do you do? Yeah, how do you do that? Great question. I don't know. What's better? What's more deserve? I mean, yeah, I guess teams deserve to have a home game. You've earned it. It's not about deserve anymore. They don't care who deserves what. Hey, let's take a pause for the cause. We'll pick this discussion up on the other side with Dylan Sin joins us. Appreciate you being with us. It's Wednesday, Big Ten Championship Week. Basketball tonight. Basketball Saturday. Basketball, basketball, basketball. We've got it all. And we're back with all that and much more on the other side of these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Speed Radio, on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Dylan Sin joining me now from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette as well on this snowy week. I'm sure it's pretty snowy up in the fort, up in Fort Wayne, baby, because I can look outside and see all I want to see right now.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. We got about, 4 or 5 inches the other day and some more a couple nights ago. So, yeah, we have plenty here right now, and thankfully the roads are pretty good. I'll be able to get down to Indianapolis on Saturday, so looking forward to it.
Well, didn't think you'd be missing out on that one, man. I'm pretty sure they're going to have the roads clear for that game. It'll be a lot of lots of traffic coming into Indianapolis. Gus Johnson on the program with me today, as well as he'll be on the call for the Big Ten Championship game on Fox for that. Also during the day, number 22 Indiana neutral site.
Yeah.
Indiana versus number 6 or whatever the hell they are. Louisville, top 10 Louisville team. Very good. Pat Kelsey has done an incredible job coming in, rolling in it. And boy, college basketball is just woof. It's hit like a lion rolling in here with some of these games, good games. Kentucky, woo, Kentucky, boy, they've been getting hit on the chin. They've lost to, who haven't they lost to right so far? They've already lost to Louisville. They've lost to North Carolina. They lost to Michigan State.
Yep, they're 5-3.
And so, which is fine. It's not going to hurt them. Those games are losing or big time games, but it also shows you that, hey, does Indiana have a chance when they go to Rupp Arena in a few weeks? We don't know. They might have a better chance. Do they have a better chance at Rupp Arena or Gainbridge Fieldhouse?
It's It's a good question. Yeah, because obviously the atmosphere is going to play a significant question. I do think Louisville is a better team than Kentucky is.
Yeah, but that's what I meant, because it's going to be, a more difficult challenge, although in a friendlier environment.
Exactly. So I guess the question is how much the atmosphere there at Rupp Arena matters. I mean, the problem is that Kentucky fans are already turning on Mark Pope. You kind of saw that last night. It was pretty toxic online after the North Carolina loss last night. So if Indiana gets an early lead in that game, it goes from being a home court advantage for Kentucky to, it's a little bit toxic in that arena. It could turn that way really, really quickly.
Let me tell you, if Kentucky were to lose to Indiana in the first year back of this resurrection of this series in Rupp Arena, after already having lost to North Carolina in Rupp Arena, they lost to Louisville on the road at least, and Michigan State, that was like in Chicago or something, wasn't it? But regardless, hey, nope, those fans are not going to have any of it. They're like, no, sir, we are not losing every damn one of those games. Because I was thinking about this, if Indiana could squeeze out a win over one of those, Louisville or Kentucky, which that's a tough ask, they would have the better record to me of all of those mixture of teams, because they'll have a win. Kentucky's going to have a bunch of losses, man. Although it won't hurt them at the end of the year, I don't think. But well, you never know, man. Those losses keep piling up.
Yeah, I mean, basically what it does is if you lose all these games against high major teams in your non-conference, which is like, it's fine in terms of how good you are, but then it leaves you with less room for error later on, right? Like, then you can't take a bunch of losses in SEC play. You can't against the lower tier teams, right? But once you lose all these games and you don't get any big wins, because Kentucky doesn't have a big win yet, if I remember correctly.
That sounds like who does it sound like we're talking about, Dylan?
There's a team that
was a very, very recent past that it sounds like we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's like Indiana the last couple of years where you had no margin for error, right? You have to do well in conference play. Indiana only did okay in conference play the last couple of years, and they missed the tournament, right? And so Kentucky is the same way, where it's okay, you lost those games, that's not the end of the world, but then you have to go 13-7, 14-6 in SEC play to feel safe on Selection Sunday, right? Because otherwise you're looking at being right on the bubble. You have 12 losses or whatever it is. Okay, well, that's a lot of losses. So you end up sweating it out unless you have a really, really good SEC season, which the idea of putting together a tough non-conference schedule is to prepare you for conference play, to prepare you for making a run at a conference title. But we'll see if Kentucky is able to do that. There's a lot of talented teams in the SEC this year, although maybe not quite as many as we thought before the season started. Some of those teams are not quite as good as I think people thought they would be. Florida's not as good as we thought. Auburn's not as good as we thought. So Tennessee had a bad loss last night. So we'll see. I'm curious as to how that league shakes out, because I do think that the Big Ten is a better league right now with more teams at the top. But we'll have to see how it shakes out.
Here, the phrase, and I'm not cracking on you, but better than we thought. That phrase, I just laugh anytime I hear that now, and it doesn't matter if we're talking basketball or football. There's no such thing anymore as better than what we thought. What did we think? We didn't think Jack, because we didn't know Jack, because teams change so much. I'm not kidding on you, right? I'm making a point how all of us, we think that we know what to expect, but I was cautious of it when this basketball season started. I said, look, I've got no idea. I said, other than Purdue, I said, I don't have an idea what anybody has other than, say, maybe Illinois, because I know what all they brought in. I know Michigan brought in a lot of good talent, and we're seeing just that. We're seeing Michigan be okay, but Michigan State, man, are they not the best team in the Big Ten right now? I'm thinking that maybe they are.
I don't know. But
Purdue is also very, very good. My point is, hey, I don't know. We don't know what's between those two teams. They're both really good. Michigan State has some damn good wins early in the season already.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think it's hard to say anyone other than Michigan is the best team in the league just based on what they've done, right? I mean, they won three games in a row last week against top 25 teams by 30 points or more. It just really, like, they beat Auburn by 30 and then turned around and beat Gonzaga by 40. It's hard to say that anyone other than Michigan is the best right now. But yes, Purdue and Michigan State are also right there with some really good wins of their own. So it's as good of a top three as any league in the country. I think it's fair to say. You have a bunch of other teams that are right there with Iowa, who lost to Michigan State last night and struggled, but has been very good this season, with Illinois, with Indiana's been up there. Nebraska has played very well quietly. So it is one of those things where I think the Big Ten is the best league in the country this year. I don't think a lot of people expected that going into the season. And I think it's right now pretty clearly the best league in the country. And we'll see whether that continues. But it's been much more impressive than, to use your phrase, than people thought. Right? I think the conference as a whole has been, I think it's fair to say, better than people thought it would be.
Well, absolutely. And ironically, you look at the conference and it kind of reminds me of football. You've got three teams that are kind of really separated themselves from not just the rest of the conference, but, well, I don't want to say the rest of the country, but Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue. There's no other team in any other conference better than any of those three teams. I'm not saying that they are definitively the three best teams. I'm not saying that, but they're in a group that there is no number one team right now. Anybody that says there's a number one team, you're full of crap. You don't know what you're talking about. Because it's, any given night, different things happen. But there's a group. There's just a group of teams right now that are in that upper echelon. Those three teams are in that upper echelon. And they're in this upper echelon early, Dylan, and looking good early. So that's good news for them. Bad news for the rest of the Big Ten Conference right now.
Yeah, all three of those teams have a win by at least 20 points over a team that was in the top 20 in the net, I think. Like, obviously, it's very early for the net rankings, but they all have at least one, and some of them two, blowout wins over teams that are very highly thought of, right? Like, Purdue went to the Bahamas and beat Texas Tech by 30, right? Michigan State has the big win over Kentucky that was not particularly close. They have they beat Iowa by 20 last night. Iowa was like 16th in the net coming into that game, and they just completely turned off their water. Michigan had three wins in a row over really like top 30 net teams last week in 3 days. It's been really, really impressive how good those teams have been to start the season. And then we'll see how the rest of the league shakes out. But I do think it's very similar to football, like you said, where there are teams at the top that are going to compete with anyone, right? And when we talk about, well, Big Ten hasn't won a national championship in 25 years, I do think any of those – I think this is the important part right now, is that any of those three could conceivably win the title. I think those three are all national championship caliber teams, and that's just a question of the draw in March for them to get there. Which is really good for the conference, is to have more than one team that really feels like they can do it, because, boy, it's been a long time, and it's kind of a fluke that it's been a long time, because they've had, what, 9 teams in the title game and none of them have won. But having an opportunity to really get a couple of teams in that echelon this year is exciting for the conference.
I love being in an echelon. It's always fun to be in an echelon, baby. Absolutely. It's just, how fun is it to be able to talk about teams that we get to cover, like Indiana, in the Big Ten Championship, first of all? That's for Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Oregon. Nobody else. That was long a club, a good old boys club that was locked, that the keys were locked. Man, not only has the keys been thrown in and doors unlocked, kicked ass open, you don't know who's going to be coming to play. Indiana, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt just signed. All right, I don't want to get back on. I'm going to finish this segment with football. I'm getting excited on Vandy. Vandy and the number one quarterback in the country over Georgia. Just let those words sink in. But we'll get back to that. How about Braylon Mullins making his debut for the UConn Huskies, not only for the UConn Huskies, but in Lawrence, Kansas, against the Jayhawks and Bill Self, and one of those great games that I talked about last night as UConn and the Jayhawks were going at it at Fog Allen. And how about this for a breakout performance, people? 17 points. Hit a trio of three-pointers. Blocked a layup by Kansas guard Jamari McDowell in the closing seconds and sealed fifth-ranked UConn's win, 61-56 win over number 21 Kansas with a pair of clutch free throws. I mean, what better night can you ask? You go on the road in one of the most storied venues in college basketball, and you basically just say, suck it to anybody that has doubted you or anything along those ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a terrific performance in his first game. Obviously, it was tough for him that he had to sit out the early part of this season because of the injury. And so to come back with so little, right, impressive. Again, like you said, in a really hostile environment against a team like Kansas with in a tight game, right? Like he had 17 points in a low scoring game. UConn only had 61 as a team. So it is one of those things where he kind of announced his presence as not only a very good player, but a focal point of a team that could contend for a national championship. Because UConn is in that, we talk about echelon as well. UConn is in that tier as well. I think they can win a national championship this year. So good for Braylon Mullins, Indiana kid, great job. And he will be a significant part of that team going forward this year.
And speaking of, Fred points out, can you imagine Flory Badunga and Braylon Mullins in Indiana uniforms?
Yeah.
Two players that were on that floor last night, that's part of what has been Indiana's inability to get back to where they need to be. But I'm not going down this path again. And even when they would get those players, it didn't matter. They were wasting them. So on that conversation.
They do have Trent Sisley. They do have Trent Sisley, which is great.
Yeah,
Trent Sisley is a new day. Terrific player.
Absolutely.
And
that's my point. It's a new day. It's a new era. Those are guys that they missed on. You're right. They did not miss on Trent Sisley, luckily for them. Had they, that would have been kind of the coup de grace.
You
want to talk about starting from dead-ass scratch. That would have been exactly that. But great breakout night, man. College basketball, how do you start out this good? Games, I mean, just boom. They right out of the gate, this has been a blast already. And it's hard to pay attention. I haven't been able to pay attention, hardly watch games because there's so much going on. You with football, preparing for the Big Ten Championship this weekend, it's hard to catch it all. And you hate it because there's so damn many good games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And I think teams have been scheduling, they've been scheduling harder games. Like, it feels like there have been more big time matchups early this season than we usually get. Maybe that's my imagination. I don't know. But there have been a ton of big time matchups early this season. Now we're getting into conference play, right? Like the Big Ten is starting conference play last night, and then Indiana starts tonight. So you're getting league games already, which is kind of crazy to think about just like 3 or 4 weeks into the season. There have been a ton of high-level matchups already this year, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, Michigan State-Iowa was fantastic last night. I know that Michigan State won that game by a lot, but seeing those two teams who play such distinct styles going at one another was so much fun. Michigan State, Jeremy Fears is the real deal. Like, that's a blast to watch that guy play, right? And so and you turn into Kentucky, North Carolina later on. Mizzou, Notre Dame is not a team that either teams are ranked, or it's not a game that either teams are ranked, but that was a really, really good basketball game. So it's just a lot of really good basketball if you're looking for it. If you're not, and you're just focused on football right now, totally get it. I understand. There's a lot of football going on too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oregon basketball, boy, how could Oregon anything not be great at everything? They've got the most money in the history of planet Earth with Phil Knight's money that he is, you know, $2 billion that he has left them to do as they please with. 4-4 already on the season after losing at home to the USC Trojans last night, the 24th-ranked Trojans. So there's another Big Ten team that's kind of adding to that mix. You know, Indiana's in that mix. Iowa, they're going to be one of those tweeners. They get toasted by up in East Lansing last night by Michigan State, 71-52. But I don't think that that's going to be they won't be the last team that that happens to. Purdue getting Big Ten play underway last night. They go on the road, easy win, 81-65 at Rutgers. Florida. Man, they're 5-3 already as well, Dylan. They lose on the road at Duke, 67-66. I mean, what are you going to say, gee whiz? Oh, wow, you lost by a point at Duke, number four team in the country. Write them off. No, I mean, hey, it's, again, great games.
Yeah, they're another one.
Part of the year. Number 21, Kansas, and number five, UConn. We talked about that earlier. Tennessee, Syracuse, some crossover. North Carolina, Kentucky. That was a great game. 67-64, North Carolina wins that in Lexington, no less. So that continues. And then there's more tonight, I think. Is there more of the SEC challenge tonight?
SEC ACC challenge continues tonight. I'm not sure exactly what the matchups are in that one, but that's an ongoing event. And that was a lot of what the big games were yesterday, was that event. And there should be more tonight.
Yeah, you've got Louisville, number six. Well, you want to get an idea of Saturday's game against Louisville? The number six Cardinals play number 25 Arkansas tonight down in Little Rock. Wherever they play.
Is it Little Rock? Fayetteville.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I knew that didn't sound right.
I don't know if that game is going to be particularly close. I don't think Arkansas is very good. But we'll find out. I guess we'll find out tonight.
Clemson at Alabama. Alabama's taking a few hits on the chin, too, already. LSU, Boston College, LSU at Vanderbilt. How about Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt. Number 17 ranked Vanderbilt in basketball.
They're
Vanderbilt
fourth
ranked in basketball and football. Indiana ranked in basketball and football. How many teams are ranked in both? Alabama, I can see right now quickly.
It's not that many. Michigan is, but yeah, it's pretty few. And Vanderbilt has been
Ohio State's getting close, probably.
They lost the other day. They might have been ranked in basketball, but they lost the other day. I'm trying to remember who they lost to, but it was a last second shot. So they have a loss this season. But yeah, Vanderbilt especially has been fantastic this season. They're like
isn't fourth. It amazing?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt and Indiana. Again, these two teams, both of these teams in this era of everybody wants to relate it to to NIL. It's not NIL. If I ever see another person say that Indiana got good in football because of NIL, they need to be punched in the face. Indiana is not leading anything in NIL. Not to say that they're dirt poor, but it's the transfer portal, period. That is what's allowed anybody to get to change like this. But for Vanderbilt and Indiana to be two of the teams that have benefited most in the biggest, toughest sport, football, mind-boggling.
Yeah, no, it's been really fun to watch. I mean, Vanderbilt went out and got the quarterback from New Mexico State and his head coach and put them on staff, and it turned into one of the best moves of the entire transfer portal era, right? Like, I think it's fair to say that Diego Pavia is one of the most impactful transfers of the portal era. Like it's been 5 years. He might win the darn Heisman, right? He's going to get a statue at that stadium more than likely. And they just went and beat Tennessee by 3 touchdowns. Like it was really, really impressive what they've been able to do over the last 2 years just by getting a guy off the scrap heap, right? And so it's fun to watch. And then what Vanderbilt is doing, what IU is trying to do, and hopefully will do next year, at least from Indiana's perspective, is turn that success into high school recruiting, right? Like that, like Vanderbilt has now done that with the quarterback that you were talking about, Jared Curtis, and we can talk about that more next segment. But that is what Indiana has to continue to do, is turn that on-field success into high school recruiting. Because the difference is you can
LeVar Keys, guys yes, like that.
Right. You can turn the transfer portal into a couple of good seasons, but if you don't end up putting high school recruiting with it, you could end up like Florida State. Because if you miss on a portal class, even if it looks like really good portal class on paper, you are going to struggle eventually. You can't do talent evaluation in the portal that well year over year over year. It's almost impossible. So what you need
like
to do is you need
off
to
the cliff.
Exactly. And it can happen very, very quickly. So you need to turn it into high school recruiting. Vanderbilt's done that. That's the next step for Indiana.
Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette with me. We've got lots more coming up. Jim Coyle here, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. More after this. Football Big Ten Championship happening Saturday, Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, number one versus number two for the Marbles. Back with plenty more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Wednesday. We've made it to the halfway point. Jim Coyle with you as always. Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette joining me as well. Man, big weekend, big Saturday in Indianapolis. First of all, you've got number 22 Indiana basketball taking on number 6 Louisville at how did I lose? Forget the name of the stinking stadium all of a sudden. Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And then you've got some time in between. And after the basketball game, come join us at Clayton's Country Bar right there close by Gainbridge, where we'll do a slash post-game basketball, pre-game football show as – after Indiana and Louisville tangle, now we turn our attention to the number one versus number two. I know that there have been, just because this one's sticking out more, but as far as anticipation, Dylan, these teams are so closely matched. For the general fan, they probably don't realize how close they matched they are. I mean, I have gone through stats more than once just going, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Because you'll pull up something and let's say like third down defense conversion percentage. Ohio State's number 3. You only get a first down 27% of the 2.275% of the time. Indiana, they're number 4. 0.277. 0.27 300ths. That's after all of this, after all these numbers, that's how far we're separating here. Rushing yards. That's probably one of the biggest separators. Ohio State has not ran for a lot of yards, just over 2,000 yards on the season. Indiana, 2,757. They've ran the ball a lot more. They've got 5 more rushing touchdowns. They've got more passing touchdowns. So they score more, but Ohio State is just more methodical, I think. They are a little more controlling, maybe. Either way, though, it's – scoring defenses. I forget where it is, but we're talking like 3 points difference. But then Indiana averages 44 points a game scoring, opposed to whatever it is that Ohio State averages. I forget how many points a game.
Something like high 30s, I think, like 36,
yeah, yeah,
37, somewhere in there.
So, and then I wonder about the secondary. Ohio State has 7 interceptions on the year compared to 16 for Indiana. Indiana has faced, I think, 52 more passes or something like that. I think Indiana is a little bit more active back there.
Yeah, Ohio State is more of a bend, don't break situation. They're not trying to get up and get in your face like Indiana is.
But they've been able to do that because most of the teams they've played don't have a lot of break opportunities for them. Yeah. This is Indiana's offense should afford more than one break opportunity, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, I mean, that's undergirding all of this with Ohio State, right? And they have played two good teams this year, two teams that you would classify as good. And they beat those teams soundly, right? They beat Texas and they beat Michigan pretty easily without much trouble, right? But those are the only two teams of even like a top 15 or top 20 level that they have played. And I guess Washington is kind of in that level too. It didn't really look that good against Oregon, but whatever, however you want to decide it. What happens when they play a really elite team? I'm not just talking about Indiana. I'm talking about whoever they play in the first round of the playoffs or the quarterfinals when they get a bye, whatever it is. What does that look like? Because we don't know. And because Ohio State has not really done much all season. Their whole plan has been, look, we saw what it took last year to win a national championship. 16 games is a lot of games. We are going to have more talent than everyone we play against. Let's put it in second gear and just cruise this entire game. They've done that the entire season because they want to be fresh at the end of the year, which is good. Like that makes a lot of sense. But then the question is, do you have that extra gear in your bag when you need it? Because they haven't needed it yet. We haven't seen it. So what does that look like when they really need to turn it on? We have no idea. And so is it possible that if Indiana is dinking and dunking its way down the field, which is possible they could do, that Ohio State starts to play a little bit more press man, starts to try to get up in your face a little more? Yeah, sure, maybe. I don't know because we haven't seen it. And so it'll be interesting to see how much both of these teams put on the field in that Big Ten championship game, how hard both of them go, because Ohio State wants to win a Big Ten title. They haven't won since 2020, the Big Ten championship. That's an eternity for Ohio State. Indiana hasn't won one in almost 55 years, right? So then the question is more than 55 years.
But who's counting?
Right, exactly. So how much are you putting on the field for this game? Because you have an entire postseason run after to go.
That's another thing. You can't get answers. There's no way you're not playing to win this game.
Exactly, right? But there's playing to win and there's using every club in your bag, right? Different things, right? And so I guess the question is for both of these teams, how deep into your bag of tricks are you going in this one? Because I could see Indiana pulling out every single trick play imaginable, trying to get an early lead and then force Ohio State to play from behind, which they have not done literally the entire season, and try to do that. But then are you burning things that you could be using in a playoff game that you might value more? I don't know, right?
Well, then you ask yourself this. What is more valuable? Do you – if you – had a magic wand and you could wave it on yeah. what your future was. And you're like, okay, do I think we can actually win the national championship this year? I don't know. Do I think we can win the Big Ten championship? Do I try to get that prize or, you know, I'm just throwing things out there for people to argue for argument's sake. But I think that Indiana has shown they are as good. If anybody is as good as Ohio State is, Indiana is. I've not seen any other team do anything else better than what Indiana's done. Indiana still has the best win of the season at Oregon. So Indiana, and I just talked about these numbers being so unbelievably close. And truth be told, Indiana's probably played a tick tougher schedule than Ohio State has. So with all of that, I'm like, I think Indiana's right there. Because it's a 4.5-point spread for a reason.
Because you asked. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you asked whether Indiana can win the Big Ten, right? Like that was kind of the question. And like, yes, you can. It's right there for you. It's right there. You need to win one game to win the conference, right? The conference is right there for you. And so do you just put all your eggs in that basket and say, whatever happens in the playoff later on, we'll deal with that. But let's go win a Big Ten championship in this one. Let's put all our eggs in that basket. Let's throw everything we have. Maybe Ohio State is looking ahead to trying to win a national championship and they don't care quite as much about this game. I'm not saying they don't care. They do. They 5 years is too long for Ohio State to have not won a Big Ten title, and they care about that. They have talked about it repeatedly about how that's kind of the missing piece of the resume for this particular group of players is they won the national championship. They beat Michigan finally. The Big Ten championship is the missing piece for them. They're going to care about this. But the question is, do they leave some things in reserve because they think they can go win a national championship? And if Indiana just says, hey, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the playoff. We don't know what we're going to do there. We think we can win it, but we have this opportunity right now to win the Big Ten. Let's go all out to win this one game and then forget what happens later on. I think that's a possibility as well. We might see Indiana come out with just trying, throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks in this one.
I've wondered that about Indiana. We've seen Indiana go from being a very prolific type of offense to one that was, part of that was offensive line beat up a little bit. Then I started to wonder, they kind of holding back at all, which that sounds kind of dumb on the face of it, to be honest with you, especially when you look back at the Penn State game. But I don't know. I sure have to think that they've been saving something. For this game, it's of uber importance. It's like the Heisman. The Heisman will be decided Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium. It is going to be either Fernando Mendoza or Julian Sain. In the story, they're the only two guys that are playing that has a shot at it. On top of that,
yeah. And we're going to see a lot of different, like, that's when Indiana played Oregon, they clearly had some things banked that they had not shown earlier in the season. That's how they were able to confuse, especially on defense. They were able to confuse Dante Moore and force him into mistakes that he had not made the entire season, that the offensive line forced them into mistakes that they had not made the entire season, have not made since. And so what else do you have in your, like, obviously they had played games before that. They played against Iowa and they needed to win that game. And so you weren't holding anything in reserve per se, but you had some different things up your sleeve for that Oregon game. What do you have up your sleeve for Ohio State? Because I guarantee it's something. Brian Haynes was not putting his entire playbook on the field against Purdue. I can guarantee you that one. And so we'll have to see what they do against Ohio State. I think they're going to have a lot of creative stuff ready on both sides of the line of scrimmage, maybe on special teams too. We haven't seen them get tricky special teams this year like they did with the fake punt against Purdue last year, so we'll see whether that's anything that Ohio State has to contend with as well. But this is going to be a really, really interesting game because, again, it is our first chance, especially for Ohio State, to see this team against a high, high-level opponent. And we'll see how they handle that because I think Ohio State is fantastic. Let's be very clear about that. It's just the question of what does it look like when you play a team of a caliber that you haven't seen yet. No matter how good you are, there can be a little bit of the speed of the game is a little bit different here. And so we'll see how that affects the Buckeyes early in the game, especially.
And then Notre Dame possibly end up on the outside looking in after Alabama jumps them in the latest CFP poll, which means Alabama, if they can't go down unless they lose. But
no, I mean, that's the thing.
They're not going to kick them out.
No, they're not. Basically, what this was the committee deciding Alabama's in regardless of what happens in the SEC title game, which is absurd and ridiculous.
But you're going to have a whole lot of people that don't give a crap because it happened to Notre Dame finally.
Well, I know. Which is silly, but you'd think people would have a little bit of foresight, but whatever. So basically what it is Notre Dame is probably out if BYU wins on against Texas Tech. The big game for Notre Dame is BYU Texas Tech on Saturday. If BYU wins, Notre Dame is probably out. If BYU loses and Texas Tech wins and gets the bye, then Notre Dame is probably the final team in. Then, or maybe Notre Dame moves up to the nine, because that's the one way they could punish Alabama is Alabama loses on Saturday. They move down to the 10th seed. They still get in, but then they're the 10th seed rather than the nine. And because right now what it is you would have two rematches in the first round. Right now it would be Alabama matched up against Oklahoma and Notre Dame matched up against Texas A&M in the first round. So if you swapped Notre Dame and Alabama, if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game, you'd get rid of those rematches and you'd have new games, which is probably what they want. So they've set it up where Alabama is in regardless, but it wouldn't surprise me if Alabama loses if they go back below Notre Dame to that 10th spot.
Dylan Sand from the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette, appreciate you as always, my friend. We will see you on Saturday.
Absolutely, Jim. Looking forward to it. See you in Indy.
Absolutely. We've got more Indiana Sports Beat Radio coming up. Kyle Nedrip will join us. Gus Johnson from Fox Sports later on as well. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Kyle Nedrip from the Indy Star joining us now. And finally, you can take a little breather from football. It's over, baby. It's all over except for all the awards and all that good stuff. But just go right into basketball. That's all. Oh, got you muted there. You have to unmute yourself, I guess. There you go. No worries.
It is a National Signing Day, so it doesn't feel like anything's quite over with just yet. But yeah, tracking.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Good point. yes. Yeah, but it's the games are over anyway. So that's you know, we're the games are at least moving to basketball. But the football continues at least. Like you said, we got awards. We got Mr. Football. We got signing day. You know, and signing day normally sort of not a whole lot of news necessarily, but we'll see what Jeremy Finch ends up deciding. That could be kind of the news of the day on what if he it sounds like Tennessee is getting in there. So if he's going to announce tonight at 6 p.m. at the school at Warren. So we'll see what happens there. But I think pretty much everybody else is on board with who they had already committed to.
Yeah, a little bit of a change. Where was he originally going?
Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What happened with the change there?
Well, I think it was one of those where he committed and then sort of kept things sort of open as football players sometimes do. And he went down. He visited both schools in November. So, I'm not saying he's for sure. I've talked to him a little bit, but he's not for sure that he's, you know, making that switch. But definitely Tennessee is involved heavily, and he did go down there. So there's you know that. You know, and to be honest, that's not that unusual for football players to have happen. You know, Ben Novak from Andrean was committed to Wisconsin and decommitted, going to IU. Good get for IU for sure as an in-state player. And, so we see it in football probably more often than basketball. But normally once you get to signing day, you kind of know what's happening. And you know, it's that one leading up to it anyway. Had a little bit more intrigue than usual.
Yeah, and a big day. Indiana and Purdue and Notre Dame and other schools around the state looking to pull in a recruiting class this year that is quite going to be different because of the transfer portal and when that is, Kyle, coming up in early January. January 2nd is when that will kick off this year. Boy, college football has become such a weird sport. We just saw everything that happened with Lane Kiffin because of how it operates within a season, but inside of an academic calendar year that, you know, one has nothing to do with the other really, but it really kind of screws things up. But how would you rate this recruiting class from the state of Indiana as wherever they're going, whether it's Tennessee or Indiana or wherever?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good class. I think next year's class, you know, you didn't ask me about next year, but I would say next year's class, I think possibly even more.
I was going to ask that next time.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, there are some really good players. You know, the Guilford kid from Fort Wayne Northrop, who, you know, it was interesting to me. LSU offered him on Monday, basically right after Lane Kiffin got hired there. And he put out something last night saying he's still going to Ohio State. So, but I thought that was interesting. Kind of speaks to the timing of things, like you mentioned, as far as the, you know, trying to get Kiffin there in place and then, you know, get a recruiting class set. So, you know, and then we also have Jet Goldsberry from Heritage Hills, who is committed to Ole Miss and I think still will be. They hired their Kiffin's replacement there. So I think that'll keep the recruiting class set for the most part. But you do wonder about the Ole Miss players now, you know, going to LSU, you know, in the portal, you know, so who knows how that all plays out too. But yeah, I mean, this recruiting class, I think, you know, it's a good class. I mean, I think IU did particularly well getting some of the players that they got out of this class in the state. Like, you know, I think Parker Elmore from Columbus North, you know, tight end who's super athletic, 6'5". He has continued to rise in the rankings. Casimir Hicks from Decatur Central, who's a real playmaker. I think he'll be a defensive back once he gets to college, but was a playmaker on offense too. You know, Trevor Gibbs from Crown Point, you know, linebacker, tight end, really rangy player. You know, I was wondering if they might get like a Dane Badhurst who ended up going to Oklahoma. But yeah, I mean, you're not going to get everybody. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, the portal in a lot of ways matters probably more than the recruiting classes do now when you're getting guys who are already experienced, and we've seen what that's done for IU. But you get some of these in-state guys in there who, you know, they might be more program guys or might be, you know, people who take a little bit more time, like, you know, Blake Smith of Franklin, who's a defensive lineman who's been awesome in high school, very productive in going to IU. And, you know, I think that only helps, you know, when you can get those good in-state players who, you know, are probably those players I would think are more apt to stick with you, even if they're not, you know, playing right away, just because of what's going on with IU and the kind of the commitment they have there. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I think next year's class is really good, and you kind of turn the page on this one after today, and they get going to, most of these guys will be going early, you know, going to their college in January. So, you know, you kind of turn the page and start looking at what's coming next year, and you know, players like Monchin Sales from Lawrence North, you know, 5-star receiver who's got all kinds of offers, and Caleb Elkins from Warren Central, who's got definitely has been to IU several times. Mason Oglesby at New Pal, who's such a great athlete, as sort of plays a tight end, or, you know, they split him out sometimes too, but he's a you know, big time playmaker. You know, and you go down the list, man, it's all kinds of you know, talented players in that 27 class. So again, you're not going to get everybody, and you can't get everybody, but I think some real chance there for IU to really make a splash with that 27 class too.
And obviously success breeds success. And that is something that Indiana has not had the opportunity to build upon. Purdue has been up and down right now. Unfortunately, they're down. That's going to make it very difficult for the Boilers to make any inroads. Although between the two schools, they had kind of, they were the leader as far as state recruiting there for a while. Now that's switching back over to Indiana, of course. But Indiana also needs to get guys outside of the state. But getting these in-state recruits, people may not understand how important that it still is with the transfer portal. But Kurt Cignetti and guys like him, they like to find, identify, and develop talent. And they've done a good job of that. And they love finding those hidden gems. That's how you have a team built up of all the no-stars last year and the band of Merry Misfits, as Fernando Mendoza calls his team this year, which are not exactly all misfits. Roman Hemby is an all Big Ten running back. Fernando Mendoza is going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. So not exactly misfits, but it is a across the board. It is a group of, but it shows you it doesn't matter what level, if a one star, five star, three star, these guys work hard. And I promise you, the guys that are three stars work their ass off, and you don't get great because you just want it, because you wish it. So it does, all of these guys in Indiana has shown that they, especially with skilled talent, that's probably, I don't know, more skilled talent out of the state than, say, linemen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends year to year. But, yeah, you look at that IU team, and it's like, you know, they don't look like misfits. They look the part of a top five team in the country at the least. So, you know, I think it's a – I think it's a deal where they have just been great at player development also. I mean, and you get experienced guys in there. And then, you know, what was Omar Cooper coming out of high school, a three-star? You know, he didn't look like, you know, so the stars, once you get to college, you know, what's it matter really what the stars are? And, you know, I hear all, you know, it's like these when they talk about quarterbacks and stuff and they call them five stars and, you know, it's meaningless. You know, I do, and I respect the people who do the recruiting rankings, and I think they do the best job they can for the most part, and they get a lot of stuff right, you know, too. But so you know, I don't want to diminish what they do, but honestly, once you get to college, who cares what, you know, what the stars are? You have to have talent, though, and you know, and I think IU's been able to do that clearly, and they've been able to get experienced talent, which has really kind of got this ball rolling. But yeah, I mean, it depends on the year, I think, on in-state recruiting. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, the quarterbacks here, you know, and I think if it would take a deeper study into quarterbacks to see where, you know, players fit into, you know, college systems or, you know, a quarterback to me is the hardest thing to, you know, to just know what's going to happen at the next level. I mean, I've been baffled at times why it hasn't worked out for some and it has for others. And I think it's largely based on, you know, where you end up going and the people you're surrounded with and kind of the style of play that you're getting into also. But I think other positions are easier to tell how they're going to fit in and maybe what they can do. You know, Omar Cooper, for example, I mean, I would have thought for sure he was going to be a really good college player, and he has been. So, you know,
he was a great athlete, though. He was a good basketball player, just a good athlete
and a winner. You know, I remember when he got injured and had to miss a lot of the basketball season, and he was sitting right next to Jack Kiefer the whole year, you know, based on a stool, basically being the assistant coach, one of the assistants, and his dad is an assistant coach. So, you know, and I was always impressed that he didn't kind of fade into the background, he could have easily done that when he was out for that long, but he stayed involved, and, you know, it's fun watching him at the next level now, because it was fun to cover him in high school. But yeah, I mean, it's easier in some aspects than others. And quarterback to me is the one that's the hardest. Offensive lineman, you know, you can see it normally if you get them in the system and they stay healthy. You know, those are guys you can develop over time. Defensive ends, you know, those are the hardest guys to get, you know, and those guys are the ones who I think are getting paid probably as much as anybody except quarterbacks at the next level, because those defensive ends are so rare that are, you know, big time players. But other positions I think are a little bit easier. But yeah, I mean, this recruiting class, I think, will be, or this 26 class is fairly deep, and I think will help, you know, and you look at like Kobe Cherry going to Purdue. I really like that fit for him. You know, Purdue's got a few in that class from in the state, which I think will help them. Again, you're developing, you know, hopefully developing for Purdue over a longer. It's not going to be the quick fix, I don't think, but it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get going. But I think they've got some good pieces there.
Yeah, and we'll see. As they certainly looked a lot better this year, but boy, I was shocked to see them end up just the same record as a year ago, but because it's better for Purdue, it's better for the state, it's better for the Big Ten. You don't want teams going down, because this is a problem, could be a problematic area. If you are dumpster fire in football, your sports program is probably in trouble. And so, I mean, that's a whole different conversation for another day, but it's just how it is. The landscape has changed. But man, the Big Ten Championship in town. Will you get to go cover that? Go out to the event?
No,
there's gotta be a ton of, I would think a ton of in-state recruits. While I know that this cannot be a recruiting event for the schools, they could still go and get tickets and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll be at the Sneakers for Santa for basketball, so I'm turning the page by the weekend.
I'm out of here, he said. I'm done with it.
Hopefully, I'll be able to watch some of it, though. I'd love to be able to see some of that and talk to Caden Curry this week a little bit. So, you know, interested to see how he does against IU, and that'll be an interesting sidebar to the story.
Yeah, there's always. And not only that, you've got Zen Mikowski, who went to Floyd Central High School, originally committed and played at Ohio State, transfers to Indiana. Any other Indiana high schoolers left over there on that Ohio State sideline?
Josh Mickens is still there from Lawrence Central. I'd have to go through the roster and look. I don't know that there is a ton of them. You know, Curry's obviously the one that – he's kind of been the star player this year for them, or one of them anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, I know Mickens is still there, and I'm trying to none of the others kind of come to mind right now. But yeah, I mean, as we've talked a lot about on this show, Ohio State normally comes in here, and if they really pinpoint somebody they want, they normally get them. So they've been able to do that for years and years. We'll see if that changes. I don't know that it will, but I think IU's getting. You know, they're getting players. I mean, it's not like they're not getting players now, but we'll see how that transpires. I mean, Ohio State carries weight for how many decades, you know, so it's
well, Indiana has to start putting guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to start putting guys in the NFL because until you do that, even playing time, I don't think is going to be enough to win that recruiting battle. You want to know that. Hell, if you think you've got a better shot at going to the NFL being a backup at Ohio State as being a starter someplace else, you might take the backup role, and if that is your ultimate goal. So I would see it. What's up next for you, Ben?
Yeah, I just got, like I said, we'll have updates on signing day today throughout the day. And then, you know, we'll see what Finch ends up doing. And then, yeah, a lot of basketball coverage to come. I still have preview stuff I got to finish up, wrap up still, even though the season's starting. But yeah, I'll this weekend looking forward to covering some basketball. And I did a couple games last week, so I got my feet wet. Now diving fully into the pool this weekend.
Somebody give him a towel. His feet are wet, man. It's too cold out there to have wet feet. Kyle Nunnrip from the Indy Star. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. Keep the snow off the sidewalk.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Nunnrip from the Indy Star joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We've got lots more coming up. We're back with it. Plenty more. Gus Johnson will join us next. Make sure you come back and join us right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you on this Wednesday, Big Ten Championship Week. It is a huge week in the state of Indiana, but the city of Indianapolis, it's going to be big. I was kidding with Gus in the break. Man, he could rob a bank in Indianapolis on Saturday and never get caught. He's got his red and white on, and so with Louisville and Indiana and Ohio State and of course, Indiana again, you won't be able to be seen. It's going to be like Christmas all over the place. Gus Johnson joining us from Fox Broadcasting.
Hey, what's going on, Jimmy? Hey, my fraternity is Kappa Alpha Psi, and we were founded in at the University of Indiana in 1911, and our colors are the same colors as the Hoosiers. So Kappa Alpha Psi Phi Nu Pi. What up, noobs? What up, noob? Alpha Chapter, Indiana, IU. So I always represent, you know, my fraternity. And my fraternity was founded at IU. So, you know, Elder Watson Diggs.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Now, one good thing is you made the mistake with me instead of on Fox. boy, if you call it the U of I, they'll smack your hands for that one.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. I don't care. I'm just talking about.
No, fans. I do care. I'm Indiana University. Did I say it wrong? What did they do? What did I say wrong? IU, right?
Yeah. It's all good. It's all rolling. There's so much. There's so many universities that are going to be in town on this weekend. It's crazy. Like I said, Ohio State going to be there. Louisville going to be there. And these are all ranked teams, Gus, of all the between the basketball and the football. These are all elite teams, top 10 Louisville team, of course, number one and number two, Indiana and Ohio State on the football side of things. So this is a fantastic sports weekend.
You talk about basketball?
Everything, man. It's just going to be
Louisville
everything.
Playing Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't even gone into basketball mode yet. I don't know anything about basketball right now.
Yeah,
The only thing I care about, I know Indiana's playing well and Louisville's playing well. That's what I do know. And I know Michigan State's playing well. And I know Michigan's playing well.
Oh, yeah. I'm like you. I'm not in basketball mode yet. I just know that it's going on. Indiana and Louisville are playing that day. If it wasn't for that, if these games were in separate places.
Are they playing on Saturday?
Yeah, it's all happening in Indianapolis, man. That's what I'm saying. This is all going down on Saturday in Indy. Number 6 Louisville against number 22 Indiana on the basketball court at Gainbridge. And then a few hours later, over at Lucas Oil, number 1 and number 2 for the Big Ten Championship.
Wow, that's so cool. I didn't know all that was going on.
Man, they couldn't have you do all that, man. They'd kill your voice. They got to save you. They got to save the
well, good. You know, my voice do be squeaking sometimes. I need some oil.
That was – I saw you talk about that call, but to me, it made it one of the just more unique calls because it was such an iconic, a unique moment, and you have – been the orchestrator of so many unique calls already, but that just, it's like, what different can you do? And without even trying, you come up with a new way, man, of making it roll in there.
Man, I tell you, I was just so swept away. That was so exciting.
Oh.
I was so excited. I just got swept away in that moment. I mean, that was an iconic moment for those kids at Indiana. And I know it didn't work out well for Penn State. I'll keep that in mind the next time. But, geez, man, the guy drops back in the pocket. He's under pressure. He throws it where nobody can catch it but Omar Cooper Jr. And Omar Cooper Jr., his head almost hits the goalpost. I mean, crossbar. Yeah. And he came down with it like Baryshnikov. His body was leaning out of bounds, and his feet stayed in bounds. I mean, that's one of the craziest, the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life.
I get it. I had to be in Chicago that day. Indiana was playing basketball, and so I had to go up there to cover that. But I'm driving back, having known how it ends, having heard your call once, I'm rewatching it, and I'm getting goosebumps. Watch the second time around. I'm like, gee, it was just that spectacular. I mean, that just
did you incredible. See those kids from Australia and how they did a spoof on me and Joel? The
no.
Chef-mates. You got to watch that. The Chef-mates. Go on Instagram.
Cannot wait to find that. The Shep.
Oh, my gosh. They made so good fun of us. And they were just like, they nailed it. They were right on it. I mean, it was just one of those moments that as a play-by-play guy, you dream of. They go on this drive. They got no timeouts. They got this handsome quarterback from Miami. It's got the little Cuban Latin feel to him. You know, I mean, Charlie Becker, he was making catches. And then Omar Cooper in the back of the end zone, tapped his feet in. He got paid that day, by the way. Omar Cooper got paid that day.
You're not lying there.
How's Surratt? Is Surratt all right?
All good to go.
Because I haven't watched the Purdue tape yet. Did he play back for Purdue?
Yeah, he played several snaps. Didn't do a whole lot.
I know he's been nursing a hammy, right?
Yeah, but he's all back. He's all good. They didn't throw the ball a lot. They ran the ball most of the night.
What was the score again? Because I haven't looked at it.
56-3. It's 122-3 over the last two seasons over Purdue. Purdue not in a good place. So
we're gonna get the Boilers back going.
They got to get things going back and going.
They got to get going. They'll get going.
You want everybody to be good. You want everybody to be good.
Mm-hmm. That's the Big Ten.
So this game is so big, Gus. We've got the college football playoffs after it, but it's kind of hard when you're looking at the only two teams that managed to go through the season undefeated from the conference that has won the last two national championships. They're ranked 1-2. I was going through stats earlier before you joined us, which I've been through them a billion times, but it's unbelievable how close these guys are in so many different stats. If you go into one's number one and the other's number two, and then vice versa on something else, all the way down the line, defense, offense, it's just spectacular. And glad that you get the gift of giving us the gift of having you on the call for this game.
Thank you. This game is for the Big Ten Championship, the number one spot in the college football playoffs against the number one and number two teams in the nation for the Heisman Trophy.
That's a lot.
This is for the Heisman Trophy. I love Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame, but his team is not undefeated, and they don't play in a conference. Not our fault. This game is between Julian Sain and Fernando Mendoza, winner take all for the Heisman Trophy, the number one spot in the college football playoff, and the Big Ten Championship. We haven't seen something like this since about, 2006, Ohio State, Michigan?
Exactly. That is the last time. There's so much more that makes this even more so. You've got the upstart in Indiana, who is, the Cinderella story, of course, and Kurt Cignetti and all of that. But the Heisman, like you said, it's coming down to this game. One of these guys is winning the Heisman race, the trophy, and that's all there is to it.
Whoever wins this game wins the Heisman. That's what I think. So
I can't disagree with you because they're, again, like the teams, they're that close. Whatever one has done better than the other has done something better than he has.
Right. Yeah.
Whether it's Fernando with more touchdowns or a higher completion percentage for Julian, it's just like, man, they're both bad men, and they're going to be troublesome. The thing I'm looking forward to, Gus, are these two defenses. Both of these defenses are just lights out. Indiana is also just as, I think, as stingy as Ohio State, maybe in a different way. They hurt you in other ways. They've got 16 interceptions on the year as opposed to 7 for the Buckeyes, but the Buckeyes give up less yardage on the ground, and so it's a pick-your-poison kind of a deal.
Yeah, all that stuff don't matter on Saturday. It's just who's got it here and here. And you got two coaches. These are the best coaches in America. Ryan Day and Kurt Cignetti. Best coaches in America right now at this moment. So the chess match is going to be, I just can't wait. Sometimes I just shake my head. This is one I've never in my whole career called a game that is this big and has this much on the line.
Well, how many times are there games that are this big with this much? I mean, that's where we've been so fortunate, because we're adding the Heisman Trophy to this. We're adding a conference championship to this. We're adding the number one seed on top of that. I mean, it's so much. Even the second, the runner-up, if this game is as good as we think it could be, they could still end up 1-2 in the seeds after all is said and done.
And complain maybe later Again. Yeah. I mean, the Big Ten is just great. I love it. I love college football. I love everything about it. And it's getting better and better. These playoffs, like, it's just so exciting. You know, I did a lot of NCAA tournament games when I was at CBS, and it's starting to feel like that. And I know that they may down the road expand the teams to from 12 to 16 to 24. I don't know. You know, it can't. There's nothing that can be done that'll hurt it. It's just the best for me. So Saturday, the whole world gets to watch the Big Ten, and that's our conference. It's my conference, conference I work in. No disrespect to the SEC. Shout out to the SEC. We love them. Shout out to the ACC. We love them. All right. But this is Big Ten, and the Big Ten is getting ready to take center stage in Naptown. So, you know, you're going to have it's going to be kind of like a home game for IU. And that's good because the Buckeyes are the Buckeyes. They're the reigning national champions, number one team in the nation. Like IU, undefeated. They're going to come. You know they travel well. And they're going to come ready to play and ready to dominate. And I just think this is, it's like a dream. It's like a movie. It's like we get to see the best, like the football gods are just smiling on us. Thank goodness for Kurt Cignetti.
And this he's is just dropped the beginning.
That's my man. I mean, he's just dropped into the Big Ten, not just a star, but like a supernova. I mean, he's got it. He said it the first day. Purdue sucks. So does Michigan and so does Ohio State. I was there. I called that game. And I was sitting next to him. And I said, man, you walk in here talking a whole lot of stuff. He said, oh, you don't understand, Gus. They're going to get their ass kicked. He said that to me. It was just me and him. And I'm sitting here calling the game. And Kurt Cignetti is sitting right next to me. He just said, oh, no, you don't understand. They're going to all get their ass kicked. I've never seen anything like this, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, so, neither has anybody else because.
It's like Babe Ruth.
Yeah, when it first comes on, you're like, okay. Even Indiana fans, I'm sure, were like, easy there now. Yeah, let's beat on Purdue, but easy when you.
Right, easy. Hey. I was thinking that. Coach, man, I've been here a long time. Don't say that. Just. But he knew.
Oh, easy. He did, man. He did. He Speaking knew. Of having it, you got it, by the way. One of your, as busy as you already are, one of your endeavors, got it, a place where people can go and find some pretty cool, unique content. Got it. Where can they find Got It, first of all?
We don't know yet. We're trying to figure that stuff out. But the key is we're talking about the players that got it.
Yeah.
You know, and this is my brand, one in the many, many in the one. I kind of got it because I like to study Greek philosophy and Egyptian philosophy. And this is a form of the Latin phrase e pluribus unum, which you see on the money, which is many one. This is one in the many, many into one, because we all come from our own different, you know, cultures, race, religion, ethnicities as individuals. But when one is united with the many in time, with faith and discipline, commitment, the many transforms into an amalgamation of all, blending a universal spirit connected to one consciousness. We work as one, we play as one, we serve as one, we believe as one, we fight as one. And it's my passion project. When I went to graduate school a couple of years ago, our professors talked about being in my 50s and moving forward in my life, in my 50s and to my 60s and hopefully my 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s, to give back and have a social impact on life. So we always have to have a passion project. That's what my professors taught me. And this is my passion project. You know, one into many, many into one, about being a team. Just like Bo talked about. It's about the team, the team, the team. We're going to believe in each other. We're not going to criticize each other. We're not going to talk about each other. We're going to encourage one another. It's all about the team. And it's not just about sports. It's about everything, you know, coming together as a team and delighting in the excellence of others, delighting in the excellence of your team. Because when your team does good, that means you do good. So we've been coming up with the one in the many, many in the one got it team. And this is, I taped it today, which is Tuesday. And this is our 14th version of it. And we've had players from all around the country. Unfortunately, we can't do the SEC or the ACC because we don't have the rights to the footage, and it's very expensive to get that. So hopefully down the road, we can figure out how to maybe incorporate them if they give us a break on the bread. But, you know, we've had a chance to see some of the best players in the country do their things for their teams and their schools and their families. And it's something that's been a lot of fun. It's only 1 minute. But Fox Digital, which is a full-fledged production, Hollywood production company, has gotten behind it, and we're getting positive responses from it. And this week, our one in the many, many in the one got it player is going to be Julian Sain from Ohio State, the young quarterback from California, who's just been having a fine season. You guys will, the Indiana people, see him next week. We've already had Fernando Mendoza. We've already had Kurt Cignetti. We've already had Arvell Reese from Ohio State and the entire Ohio State defense. So I got a feeling that our for the last week, week 15, is going to be from Ohio State or Michigan. One of those two teams going to have the final got it player of the week. And we're just tickled pink to be able to be creative and have a chance to do stuff like this.
Well, I know that that you know the iconic voice, the Gus Johnson. I know the people cannot get enough because of your great calls. But then when you add great causes like this, that just gives people more of a reason to look out for different kinds of content and to find different things that they can take into their life, which is cool because that's the great thing about sports. It's not just about playing a game and winning and losing. There's a lot more that goes to it, especially if you really pay attention to a lot of these players and how, which I know it's almost sacrilegious to say this nowadays with the players able to move like they can, but the relationships are so important to them, and they establish these relationships now. And I think that's one of the things that Gus is talking about and building those things through community together. So, but man, it's just, that's awesome to see that. And the gear looks great, man. Got to get that out on the merch line, man. The IIMMII.
Yeah, what I am in my, well, I just, it's just, it's kind of expensive. You know, this is all coming out of my pocket. And hopefully, you know, one day maybe Adidas will see its way to becoming one of our sponsors. But more than that, for anything, more than that, rather, it's just fun to have a chance to delight in the excellence of our young men and women. These kids are so amazing. Our kids, our football players are just, they're just amazing. They're amazing human beings. Their work ethic, their discipline, their intelligence, their unselfishness in the game of American football, which is the greatest game that's ever been created on planet Earth. American football. I ain't talking soccer. I'm talking about what we play, because we are not only brilliant minds, and you have to be brilliant to play the game of American football, but you have to have courage. You know?
Yeah, I talked about it earlier on yesterday's show about specifically about today's athletes and how unbelievably well-spoken they are, on how embarrassed I am as looking back at my knucklehead self comparing to those guys. I'm like, oh, wow, these guys, they sound like professionals now, just professional speakers or whatever. And it is awesome to see. It is awesome to see them perform at that level. And just – you don't see him getting into trouble like he used to. It's a whole different deal, man. And it's all so much fun. And speaking of fun, boy, oh boy, do we have a ton of it coming this Saturday in Naptown with Gus on the call.
You see those guns, Jim? I've been working. I'm going to be ready for this weekend.
Gus's guns. There's a t-shirt, Gus's guns.
I like that. Ouch,
Gus's that just hurt. Guns.
Yo, Jim, that hurt. I can't be flexing like that.
Hey, when I do that, I say, hey, I pulled some fat. So
right. Me too, man. I got it with you.
Well, man, oh, one last thing. When you get into Indy, do you get to go to St. Elmo's and tickle the, do a little, have a little,
the shrimp.
Shrimp cocktail challenge.
Yeah. I like to take people there that don't know about it. Billy Packer did that to me when I was a young sports. He said, hey, Gus, you should try the shrimp, and almost choked. And he laughed. Everybody laughed. So I like to take the people to St. Elmo's that haven't been there. But, you know, I got to, you know, make my way into St. Elmo's, you know. But my favorite place in downtown Indianapolis is the Steak and Shake. I just got to admit it. I got to get the chili.
Can't go wrong.
The Steak and Shake is a cheeseburger with the chili fries and a Coke. At about, because the game isn't until the next day, so I can hang out the next night, so I can hang out a little bit on Friday night. So about 1 o'clock, I could get nice little cheeseburger, chili cheese fries with a Coke, take that back to the hotel room, and I'll have a nice amount of sustenance for the night and get ready to do the game the next day. So I love being in Naptown. I love being at, you know, the house that Peyton built, Lucas Oil Stadium, is nice and warm and toasty. It's always cold at the Big Ten Championship. It's always freezing outside in Indy. But on the inside, it's nice and warm, and everybody's going to be ready. And man, this is so exciting. It feels like a playoff game or maybe even a preview of the national championship. So I'm just really excited to have a chance to be a part of it.
Well, like I said, we're excited to be able to know you're on the call because that makes it better already. Gus Johnson from Fox, I can never thank you enough. You're always so impeccable and so thoughtful with your time. We're grateful.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me. I'm a big fan of Indiana sports. I've been calling Indiana sports for a long time now. Back to Bob Knight days. And Coach Knight, he saw that I was young when I first met him, and he was so kind to me. And he taught me some things. He allowed me to go into practice with Billy, and he was very gentle with me because he knew I was learning, and I respect him and love him for that for the rest of my life. So I've always been an Indiana friend. Kappa Alpha Psi, Phi Nu Pi, Frat So Nice. We had to name it twice. It originated at Indiana. And, you know, I'm looking forward, and I hope the best team wins that day. But I know it's going to be a special day regardless.
We're going to have the best announcing crew on it. We already know that.
That's right.
Gus Johnson from Fox with us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Back with more after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride, as always. Appreciate you being with us, man. What another fun day on this Wednesday, as we're only halfway through the week. Man, Gus is awesome. Really super, really appreciate him and his time. He's just a cool guy, as you can see, just down to earth and pretty much see what you get, man. Yeah, pretty cool stuff about his fraternity being founded at IU. That's unique stuff there. And I've got to tell you, I enjoy listening. I saw someone asking a minute ago on social media on some particular Reddit or something, does anybody enjoy listening to Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt? And I'm thinking, what a stupid ass question. No, nobody likes listening to them. That's why they're on one of the biggest platforms in college football. No, yeah, no one likes them at all. Does anyone like listening to your dumb stuff? No, you're not being paid millions. So there's that. More basketball tonight. Indiana on the hardwood at the barn, baby. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, as the Hoosiers kick off Big Ten play tonight. It's also National College National Signing Day for football, but we're going to wait till tomorrow to get all that stuff because while there have been several eyes signed and all that, it goes throughout the day. Nothing earth-shattering expected, so we'll wait to get on that tomorrow. But tonight, Indiana up in Minneapolis to take on Minnesota, eh? Probably, if you're going to start the season and have to start it on the road, I mean, the barn is not the easiest places to play in the world, but there's worse places. Trust me. And so not a bad gig for Indiana to get to head up there before taking on a top 10 Louisville team this weekend. That's going to be a challenge. But challenge tonight, too, as this team gets their first taste of life on the road in the Big Ten. And, yeah, I know it's Minnesota, but I don't care. It's Indiana coming to Minnesota, so they're licking their chops. Indiana's undefeated. They want some of that, baby. Yeah. They're tired of seeing Indiana fans brag about having their men's basketball team and their football team undefeated. They'd love to put a little dent in that shine. Of course, you have Don Fisher on the call tonight. Now, let's see. Saturday, don't forget, after the basketball game, downtown at Clayton's Country Bar, we're going to have a post-game basketball post-game show and slash a la pre-game football show. So make sure you come down to Clayton's Country Bar Saturday after the game, before the football game, Saturday afternoon. It'd be a nice little walk from the basketball arena. Stop by and then head on down to Lucas Oil Stadium. It's going to be a fantastic. You saw how excited Gus is. And was a lion? Could he just commit capital murder in the middle of Indianapolis and just make away without being seen in those colors? That or he can arrive on a sleigh. Look very, very Christmassy. Very Christmassy. But, man, what a fun day. It's been a fun week. Appreciate everybody. Hoosiers putting up hay in the barn tonight. They're going to need to. I'll buy you a drink. Five Less asked me if I'm buying drinks. I'll buy you a drink. A drink. Yeah, I'm buying everybody a drink. I'm gonna buy a drink for everybody that comes down to Clayton's. A drink. One drink. One drink for everybody to share. That's an old Richard Pryor joke there. Yeah, I'll open the bar. No doubt. They'll open it without question. And Clayton Anderson, of course, you know him from right here in Bedford, country singer. Very cool that he's got that action going up there. And looking forward to see, I haven't seen him in a while. Looking forward to being able to do that there. So it's going to be a fun time. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to you joining us. Make sure you go to thehoosier.com. Get yourself a subscription while you can still get entered into this big grand prize giveaway worth over $400 of IU merch. Back tomorrow to do this all again. Results from tonight's basketball game and much more. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.